ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಗವದ್ಗೀತಾ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 13 ಕ್ಷೇತ್ರ ಕ್ಷೇತ್ರಜ್ಞ ವಿಭಾಗ ಯೋಗ ಶ್ಲೋಕ 21 ಕಾರ್ಯಕರಣಕರ್ತೃತ್ವೇ ಹೇತು ಪ್ರಕೃತಿ ರುಚ್ಯತೆ ಕಾರ್ಯಕರಣಕರ್ತೃತ್ವೇ ಹೇತು ಪ್ರಕೃತಿ ರುಚ್ಯತೆ ಪುರುಷ ಸುಖ ದುಃಖಾನಾಂ ಭೋಕ್ತೃತ್ವೇ ಹೇತು ರುಚ್ಯತೆ ಪುರುಷ ಸುಖ ದುಃಖಾನಾಂ ಭೋಕ್ತೃತ್ವೇ ಹೇತು ರುಚ್ಯತೆ. ಸೊ ವೆನ್ ವಿ ಸೇ ದಟ್ ಆಲ್ ಪ್ರಾಡಕ್ಟ್ಸ್ ಆರ್ ಮಾಡಿಫಿಕೇಶನ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಪ್ರಕೃತಿ, ದೆನ್ ವಿ ವಿಲ್ ಟೇಕ್ ದಿ ಎಂಟೈರ್ ಇನರ್ಟ್ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ ಟು ಬಿ ದಿ ಮಾಡಿಫಿಕೇಶನ್ ಆಫ್ ಪ್ರಕೃತಿ. ಬಟ್ ವಿ ಮೇ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಅ ಡೌಟ್ ರಿಗಾರ್ಡಿಂಗ್ ಅವರ್ ಓನ್ ಬಾಡಿ ಅಂಡ್ ಮೈಂಡ್, whether the body is a modification of matter or not, because body seems to be sentient, body seems to be conscious. With respect to sun, moon, stars, etc., we can easily agree it is matter. But whether the body is matter or not, there can be a doubt, because body seems to be a conscious entity. So Krishna clarifies that body also is matter, modification of prakriti only. So Krishna wants to emphasize that. So in this shloka, the word karyam means the living body, karya karana kartrutve, that karya refers to the living body, the conscious body, that is also matter only. Then what about the mind? Mind is a very big confusion for a lot of people. Whether mind is matter or something else is a doubt. It's a doubt all the time, because scientists even now think that mind is a conscious entity and not matter. They do lot of research under this premise that mind is a conscious entity. According to scriptures, mind and matter we cannot say, because mind also is matter, which is a mystery. So we can never say mind and matter. Mind also is matter only. So mind also is modification of matter. It is prakriti vikaraha. So Krishna says, karya karana kartrutve, in the production of body and mind, karanam means the mind, or to be precise, the sukshma shariram, the subtle body, and karyam is the sthula shariram, and karanam is the sukshma shariram. So in some books, instead of karanam, it is also karanam. So that is also okay. In that case, a different explanation has to be given, and that we will give later. Shankaracharya takes both the meanings. First, we will take the karya karana kartrutve. Karyam refers to the sthula shariram, the gross body, and karanam refers to the sukshma shariram, the subtle body. And kartrutve means in the production of. So in the production of the sthula sukshma sharirani, what is the cause? Prakriti hi hetuhu uchyate. Prakriti alone is said to be the cause. Hetuhu means the cause. Okay. Suppose the reading is karana kartrutve. Instead of karana kartrutve, if it is karana kartrutve, then it will mean all the causes and the effects of the world. For example, the seed is the karanam and the tree is the karyam. So seed also is born out of prakriti and tree also is prakriti vikara only. So karya karana kartrutve would mean all the causes and the effects of the world are born out of what? Prakriti only. We prefer the first meaning, because karya karana kartrutve, we prefer that meaning because it is easy to understand. So that is, both the physical body and the subtle body are born out of prakriti. Then the question will be, if body also is matter, mind also is matter, then body and mind also should be inert, like earth, water, desk, all those things. How we said that the body and mind happen to be conscious principle? This is one question. And you should have conscious principle, because without the conscious principle, no transaction can be there. There will not be an experiencer, there will be no objects of experience. So subject of experience, it cannot be there, because the whole world is inert. Therefore, no transaction will be possible. And the second question is, what is the role of Purusha? First question is, if everything is the modification of Prakriti, body, mind also is Prakriti, they also must be inert in nature. And if everything is inert, how can the transaction take place? And the second question is, what is the role of Purusha if everything is created by Prakriti? For this alone, we have to come to the second aspect. No doubt, Prakriti modifies to become everything, including the body and mind. Then what happened? The Purusha, which is the all-pervading chit, the awareness principle, is capable of reflecting in the body-mind complex. That is what should be understood. Even the body-mind complex is also matter. It is such a subtle matter, unlike the external earth and water. The body-mind complex is such a specifically devised matter that it is capable of reflecting or manifesting the chit in the form of chit abhasa, the reflected chaitanyam, reflected consciousness, like the tungsten filament in a bulb. So if you pass electricity through anything, it will not manifest light, but the very same electricity, when it is passed through a tungsten filament in a bulb, it is capable of manifesting light. The table also is matter. When we pass electricity through table, nothing, no glow comes. Or when we pass electricity through us also, no light comes, we may turn into ashes perhaps. So matter remaining the same, the design is different. When it is in a particular design, it can glow. Similarly, we are also like bulbs. Sthula shariram is the bulb, sukshma shariram is like the filament. When the chaitanyam passes through the sukshma shariram, the sthula shariram sukshma equipment, the sukshma shariram becomes a glow with consciousness. It becomes a conscious entity, an experiencer. And therefore, Purusha becomes the chid abhasa or chit pratibimba in the body-mind complex. And this chit abhasa becomes the bhokta, the experiencer. Even the Purusha, the chit is one. Since there are many sukshma shariras, the chid abhasa is not one. There will be as many chid abhasas as there are so many sukshma shariras. So, chidabhasa is infinite. Thus, infinite chidabhasas are available, which alone we call as jivatma. And once the chit becomes chidabhasa, it develops an individuality. It has got kartrutvam, doership, bhoktrutvam, experiencership, in association with the sthula sukshma shariras. The original aham, the I, has become ahankaraha, and it has got its own limitation also, because chidabhasa is as pervasive as the sukshma shariram only. Chidabhasa cannot be all pervading. It is as pervasive as the sukshma shariram only, and therefore the bhokta is created by Purusha. Bhokta is created by Purusha means what? Purusha himself becomes bhokta by entering sukshma shariram as what? As chit abhasa, the reflected consciousness. Purusha himself becomes bhokta, entering the sukshma shariram as chit abhasa. And here also the word entering must be very carefully understood. Entering does not involve motion. It is a motionless entering. It is like, for example, if there is a mirror, my reflection automatically comes to the mirror. So I can use an idiomatic phrase that I have entered the mirror in the form of pratibimba. Surya has entered the mirror in the form of pratibimba, reflection. Thus, bimbam, pratibimba rupena, adarsham pravishati. Adarsham means mirror. So in the same way, sarvagada chaitanyam purushaha enters as it were the sukshma shariram mirror as the chit pratibimba, the chit abhasa becoming a bhokta, the experiencer. Tat srushtva tadeva anupravishat. This is called the anupravesha stuti in Taittiriya Upanishad. And so we use the terminology that Purusha, the Brahman, creates bhokta, the jivaha, the experiencer. And there is no creation. Brahman appears as jiva. And so what happened? Prakriti has created this bhogya prapancha, this universe. Purusha is created Purusha has created this Bhoktra Prapancha, many jivas, bhoktas. They are all bhoktas, the enjoyers. And once bhokta and bhogyam, bhogyam is the one that is experienced. Bhokta is the one who experiences. So when both are created, all transactions begin between the bhokta and the bhogyam. So here, when we listen to the class, for example, the sound that we listen to belong to what? The sthula shariram of mine. And the sthula shariram is prakriti, and the sound that I make also comes under prakriti only. And you as the listener are not as your sthula shariram, not as your sukshma shariram, but it is the chid abhasa, that is you, the bhokta. The purusha is listening this prakriti vikara only. So you, the listener, is prakriti or purusha? You, the listener, is purusha, whereas the sound that you hear is prakriti. You, the seer, is purusha. I, the seen, is prakriti. Now, you may say, how do you say that the listener is purusha? In the ears that are listening, no, ears doesn't listen, mind doesn't, but you listen through your ears and your mind. Mind in ears are equipment for you, but the listener in you is you, the chidabhasa, originally the purusha. Similarly, you, the seer, you are the chidabhasa, the purusha. With the help of the mind and eyes, you are seeing me. Thus, the listener, the seer, the smeller, they are all purusha. What is heard, what is smelt, what is seen, they are all prakriti. Because shabda, sparsha, rupa, rasa and gandha, they all belong to purusha or prakriti. Shabda, sparsha, rupa, rasa, gandha, they all belong to prakriti only. Thus you, the purusha, are seeing me, the prakriti alone. But you, the purusha, can never see me, the purusha. You can see me, the prakriti, the shariram, its gunas, all those. Similarly, when I see you, whenever I see you, that you have become what? When I see you, you are no more purusha. But I am seeing your prakriti. You as the prakriti, your shariram, your height, your appearance, your color, that's what I see. And I have become what? I am the purusha. Therefore, purusha alone is always the seer, the hearer, the smeller. Whether you hear or whether purusha alone is the hearer. And purusha alone is karta, bhokta, vijnata, vakta, shrota. All that is purusha only. And prakriti alone is always the smelt, the tasted, the heard, the seen, all are prakriti. Thus, what we say is, that we should not get any doubt that you are also purusha, I am also purusha. Then, is purusha and purusha transacting? We can ask that question. Always the transaction is between purusha and prakriti only. When I am the subject, the purusha, you are the object, the prakriti only. So, the purusha, you never become an object. And vice versa. In short, consciousness alone is ever the subject. Matter is ever the object. That alone is the essence. Chaitanyam sarvada vishayi. Jadam sarvada vishayaha. Chaitanyam sarvada drik. Jadam sarvada drishyam. Chaitanyam drishvam naiva bhavati. Jadam drik naiva bhavati. This is the drik drishyam viveka understanding. So consciousness is never an object. Matter is never a subject. That is why scientists, let them analyze consciousness any amount, all their analysis will center on matter only. They will analyze brain and its modifications. But when they try to trace the consciousness, it will turn into a mystery. Because consciousness can never become an object of study. Because it is the student, the subject, who is being studied. That is what Krishna says here. Purushaha hetuhu uchyate. Purushaha, the Brahman, is said to be the cause. In what? In the experiencer, bhoktrutve. The sukshma, so the sukhams and the dukhams. The pleasure and pain. How? By becoming chid abhasa, that is understood. Why do we say so? Because purusha in his own form cannot be bhokta and karta. So purushaha is akarta, abhokta. But when purusha reflects, the chidabhasa becomes karta and bhokta. That is what we should understand. Shloka 22. Purusha prakriti stohi bhungte prakriti jangunan. Purusha prakriti stohi bhungte prakriti jangunan. Karanam guna sangosya sadasadyo ni janmasu. Karanam guna sangosya sadasadyo ni janmasu. Prakritistaha purushaha. The purusha who is located in the prakriti as what? As chidabhasa, the reflection. Why? Because purusha by himself is not located anywhere. He is all pervading. Therefore, we cannot say the purusha is located. But purusha as reflected consciousness, chidabhasa, is located where? In the sukshma shariram, in the mind. Just as was we say, the sun is located in the mirror. Can you locate the original sun in the mirror? No, it is impossible. That means when we see sun is located in the mirror, it means that sun is located as the pratibimba in the mirror, as the reflection in the mirror. Similarly, the purushaha is located in the prakriti. Here we have to note very carefully that the word prakriti refers to the sthula sukshma shariram. Now the original prakriti, but the sthula sukshma shariram is called prakriti. How can we call so sthula sukshma shariram as prakriti? Because sthula sukshma shariram is prakriti karyam only. Prakriti karyam is called here by the name prakriti. So sthula sukshma shariram prakriti karyatvat prakritihi iti uchyate. Being the product of prakriti, that is also called prakriti, because it's the product of prakriti. And the purushaha, the prakritistaha, who is located in prakriti, prakritistaha refers to purushaha. Therefore, purushaha located in the sthula sukshma shariram as chidabhasa, as kshetrajnaha, as jivatma, what does he do? Prakriti jan gunan bhungte, experiences the various attributes, the various properties, the gunas, born out of prakriti, born out of the sthula sukshma shariram. The sthula shariram produces various gunas. In this context, guna means what? Experiences, various experiences. Prakriti jan gunan, Shankaracharya writes, sukha, dukkha, moha, raga, dvesha. All these are what? Prakriti jan gunan only. They are all born out of prakriti. So, physical body is prakriti, but the pain in the physical body is prakriti jan gunan. Physical body is prakriti, but the pleasure we feel is what? Is prakriti jan gunan. Comfort, discomfort, all those, they are all prakriti jan gunan. Chidabhasa does not have this humidity and all that thing, sweatness and all those problems, chidabhasa doesn't have. Only the karya karana sangata has got all these feelings. These are all at the physical level. But there is a sukshma shariram, the mind, which produces many of the experiences. Depression, anger, agitation, jealousy, anxiety, all these are also what? Prakriti gunas only. And how do they come? Because of the interaction between prakriti and prakriti. Karya karana sangata also is prakriti, and the world also is prakriti. Prakriti means prakriti vikaraha, the modification, matter. And there is constant interaction between prakriti and prakriti. So two people come together, when they become friends, and there is a constant interaction between them, what comes together? It is the sthula shariram that comes together, the gross body. And they have been living together for some time, and the karya karana sangatam gets separated sometime. These are all inevitable gunas. Samyoga, association, viyoga, separation, kaumaram, yavvanam, jara, maranam, all these, they are all inevitable gunas. We cannot protest them. All these are what? Prakriti jan gunaha. All these are experienced by whom? The chidabhasa, the prakritistha purushaha, the jivatma. Okay, when all these experiences are going on, what should be the attitude of chidabhasa? the reflected consciousness. Chidabhasa must know that all these vikaras belong to prakriti. Birth, death, separation, pain, insult, they are all modifications of prakriti only. I, the Chidabhasa, am originally none other than the Chit, Parambrahma, who is not subject to any modification. The Chit alone, even though it is intimately associated with prakriti as Chidabhasa, it must remember, I am Chit only. Even when the body perishes, the Sukshma Shariram perishes, it must remember, I, the Chidabhasa, will continue to be there as Chit. Thus, Najayate, Mriyateva, Kadachitim, Nayam Bhutvam, Bhavita, Vanabhuyaham, Ajo Nityam Shashvatoyam Puranaham, Nahanyatem, Hanyamane, Sharire. That's what Krishna said earlier. Jivatma Aham, Paramatma Asmi, Aham Brahma Asmi. Who should know this? Chidabhasa must know this. But what happens really? Exactly this alone, the Chidabhasa does not know. The Jivatma knows all other things. It knows, it has got BA, MA, PhD, all that. All are gained in this world. All jobs in the world have been taken. All accolades have been achieved. But the Chidabhasa does not have this one simple, beautiful knowledge. And what is that? All these transactions belong to only Prakriti, and I, the Purushaha, am Asangaha. And why does this happen? It is the power of Prakriti, Maya, which veils this knowledge, which covers this knowledge. From the Jivatma, the Chidabhasa, the Prakriti, covers and deludes the Chidabhasa. That was about said actually in the 7th chapter, Tribhir Gunamayir Bhavaihi Yebi Sarvamidam Jagate Mohitam Nabijanati Mamebya Paramavyayam. That's what Krishna said in the 7th chapter. The three gunas of Prakriti keeps the Jivatma constantly busy. He is always engaged in some transaction or the other. Either he is worried about the physical body, what will happen to it, etc. Or he is worried about the mind, no one respects me, no one cares for me, all those kinds of things. Self-esteem, pride. And if he is not worried about this Prakriti, he is worried about the Prakriti around. Of his children, wife, husband, father, friends. So all the time, the Jivatma is busy with Prakriti, it forgets the fact that he is the Purushaha. Moving amidst Prakriti, he becomes one with Prakriti. Swamiji tells a beautiful story for this. That a lion was born amidst a family of lambs or goats. And right from birth, this lion was moving along with them only very intimately. Therefore, the lion thought itself to be a goat only. And it started over shouting also like a goat. Not only that, whenever another lion comes, all the goats run away along with our great lion also, frightened. Then one day, the original guru lion that came and called this lion, which has the vasana. What vasana? Aham goat asmi iti vasana. Thinking that I am the goat. It caught hold of the manes of this lion, showed his image in the waters, and showed, tat tvam asi. You are not this miserable samsari goat, but you are the lion, the king. Apnoti swara ajyam, apnoti manasaspatim, vakpatis chakshushpatihi. You are the king of the whole forest. You are that lion. It took some time for this lion to swallow that fact. And the lion looked at the other lion. It was really a lion and not a goat. And looked itself into the water and found out that I am also exactly like the other lion. Then he also said, I am lion asmi. Aham lion asmi, not goat. Thus, goat buddhi was gone and lion buddhi was wound up. Why did the goat buddhi come in the first place? Because always moving amidst goats, the same idea came. Similarly, all the time, we are in contact with matter only. Mind is matter. The world is matter. Therefore, I am what? I conclude I am also matter. This problem is hereby called by Krishna as Guna Sangaha, association with gunas. Due to ignorance, the Jivatma is strongly attached to the Guna of Prakriti. And once the Jivatma is attached to Prakriti and Prakriti Gunas, then the Jivatma becomes a Samsari Jivatma. This is the beginning of Samsara, and this Samsara will not go whatever you do. We can never solve this problem because Prakriti always has problems. Identified with Prakriti, we can never find the best life at all anytime because Prakriti has always problems like Asti, Jayate, Vardate, Viparinamate, Apakshiyate, Vinashyati. All those sixfold vikaras, modifications, Prakriti goes through. It will have birth, it will have old age, it will have association, dissociation. No perfect condition comes at all. And even if it does, before we would enjoy it, it is destroyed. And that is why the stories become like this. The story, once upon a time, whenever we tell a story, what we say? Once upon a time there was a king, wonderful place, people, all those. He had a great palace, once upon a time. But some problem or the other will happen later. Purnatvam will not be there. So once upon a time it was all there. But because some problem or other came, Purnatvam will not be there. And so Krishna says, Guna Sangaha. Who is Guna Sangaha? The Jivatma's association with the Gunas of Prakriti. Karanam. Karanam is the cause for what? Sad, Asad, Yoni Janmasu. Of many births in different varieties of wombs, which are Sat and Asat. Sat means superior wombs. Sat means is not truth here. Sat means superior wombs like Manushya Janma. And Asat means inferior wombs like animals and plants. So Sat Yoni means Utkrishta Yonihi and Asat Yoni means Nikrishta Yonihi. Superior and inferior sources. We may ask how human birth is superior. One can ask this question also. Because looking at our problems, really, the animal birth, the bird birth, etc., they looks to be superior to us. Because they don't seem to have these problems that we have. They don't have political problem, mortgage problem, no bank account at all, income tax, black money, white money. None of those things they have. So they just move about, eat what is available and reproduce. No doubt animal life has no such problems. But unfortunately, moksha is possible only in human life. It's not possible in animal life. The whole cycle of samsara can be broken only in human life. Animals cannot get liberation. All the stories about Gajendra moksha are there only to indicate that even a lowly person like animals, the Gajendra, is only a representation of a tamasic person only. That's what they are essentially to show. It is not that the animal life got moksha when he called God. They are stories for glorifying bhakti only. It should not be taken literally. Moksha is possible only in human birth. Only in that body, Aham Brahma Asmi can be known, in the human body alone. Elephant does not have an idea that it is the elephant itself. Does it know it is an elephant? Where is the question of its knowing Aham Brahma Asmi? It doesn't know. So, Sad Asad Yoni Janmasu Karanam. Because of such birth is Guna Sangaha. Asya. Asya means Jivatmanaha, the Chitabhasasya. That's what he said. And this particular shloka again tries to emphasize the same point that we said earlier. And shloka 23 will continue.
Upadrashtanumantacha भर्ता भोक्ता महेश्वरः उपद्रष्टानुमन्ता च भर्ता भोक्ता महेश्वरः परमात्मेति चाप्युक्तः देहेस्मिन् पुरुषः परः परमात्मेति चाप्युक्तः देहेस्मिन् पुरुषः परः.
सो हौ टु गेट् औट् आफ् संसार मिलियन् डालर् क्वश्चन् दट् इस् आन्सर्ड् हियर्. सो प्रीवियस् श्लोक इस् संसार कारणम्. Here it is moksha karana. Previous sloka is the cause for samsara. Now this sloka is cause for moksha. What is samsara? Jivatma or chidabhasa associating with prakriti. That is samsara karana. And what is moksha karanam? Dissociating from prakriti and associating with chit, the purushaha, that is moksha. And that is what is indicated by the chin mudra also of Dakshinamurti, the chin mudra, the sign like this. It indicates that the three fingers, these three fingers, they refer to the sattva, rajas, tamo gunas, and the index finger refers to the chidabhasa, reflected consciousness, and the thumb refers to purushaha. Now, the chidabhasa has two options, that is, this finger has two options. It can join the three gunas and become like this, or it can be, that means it will be gunasangaha, that is what is doing now. Normally, when you keep the hand, that is how normally it is. It is always associated with the other three fingers. That is why we are all samsaris, because the chidabhasa is naturally associated with the sattva, rajas, tamo gunas of prakriti. Now, it has to separate itself from the three and has to identify itself with chit, represented by the thumb, the purushaha. And then what is there? Aham chitabhasaha chit brahma asmi. That alone will be there by this association. I am the chit brahman and I am not the prakriti, the three gunas. When I use the words separating and joining the purusha, do not think it is a physical job again. We have to understand that. There is no physical action, movement involved. The whole process is one of knowing or understanding that I, the chidabhasa, am manifest here. All right. But I do not belong to here, even though I am here. Just as we are very much in the hall, but we always think we are here, but each of us belong to some place or the other. I belong to this place, you belong to some other place and all that. Similarly, I am in the body, but I am not of the body. This is called giving up ahankara and mamakara. Once the notion of I and mine in prakriti goes away, then the jivatma continues to be chidabhasa only. Because as long as prarabdha is there, chidabhasa will continue to be chidabhasa only. And chidabhasa will continue to experience the world as it is. Everything will continue. But the knowledge is very different. What is that knowledge? Krishna says, upadrashta, the witness, the chaitanyam, the purusha in the body. What type of witness? It's a close witness. That is very, very important. Because when we say that the sun is the witness of all the things happening here, as also we say, but where is the sun? Suryaha. It is 9 crore and odd miles away. And it is illumining, witnessing all these things. So always we find a distance between the witness and the witnessed. But here, the Purushaha is not a witness standing alone somewhere else. Because often we say that God is the witness of all. In Vaikuntha or Kailasha, he is sitting. Remaining there, he witnesses all that is happening and notes in his diary. So here the shloka says that Lord is not witnessing by being somewhere else, but intimately in the body. So upa means samipaha. Sthitva, very near. So, standing very near. Drashta means witness. So, illuminator, sakshi, ityartha. So, by being intimately associated, and anumanta means one who permits, one who blesses, anumanta. So, what? So, these are all what? Kshetrajnaha, the jivatma only, who is the experience, the one who permits or blesses. So, purusha has come down to the body, who is none other than this. So the Purusha has come down to the body as what? As Kshetrajnaha, Jivatma. So it is that Kshetrajnaha that is mentioned here, who is none other than the Purushaha. But the topic being Purusha, we will take it as Purusha description only here. So Purusha is Upadrashta, Purusha is Anumanta. So Anumanta means, as I told, it is one who permits or the one who blesses all the actions of Prakriti. Because we should remember, prakriti is inert. The inert prakriti cannot do anything by itself. Even the movement of the eyelid cannot happen without the blessings of Purusha. So everything that we do is at the prakriti level only, which requires the blessings of Purusha. And therefore it is Anumanta. one who permits, blesses, like the president or the adhyakshaha. Without his signature, nothing happens. Similarly, Purusha is with the adhyaksha, without whom nothing can happen. So, all these things, everything can happen only blessed by Purusha. Then, Bhartha. Bhartha means sustainer. One who gives the very sat, the very existence principle. We told Purusha is satyam and Prakriti is mithya earlier. The very existence of Prakriti is because of Purusha only. So, he is Bhartha. And Bhokta. Bhokta means literally enjoyer or illuminator of all bhogams, all kinds of enjoyments, experiences. How? Sakshi alone becomes a bhokta when he is identified with the karyakarana sangata. On disidentification, I am Sakshi. On identification, the Sakshi himself becomes bhokta. Suppose I am eating. If I identify with the body, I will say, I am eating tasty food. At that time, I have become what? I have become bhokta, the enjoyer. But the very same I, disidentify from the body, what do I say? I am not the eater. In my presence, the Sakshi Chaitanyam gunaha, gunaha, guneshu vartante. The karyakarana sangata is prakriti. And again, this food also is prakriti. Prakriti-prakriti interaction takes place, blessed by me, the Sakshi, therefore withdrawn, I am the Sakshi, identified, I am Bhokta. Withdrawn from the body, I am Sakshi, associated with the body, I am Bhokta. So, as a Sakshi, as a witness, I have no pleasure or pain. Gameplay is all of them. Start like a game player, become a Bhokta also. So, he is called a Bhokta because, again, Sloka 21, Purushaham sukha dukkhanam bhoktritve heturuchyate, the one that we just went through. So Purusha alone becomes the bhokta of sukha and dukkha, all those experiences. Then Maheshwaraha, this Sakshi alone is the Maheshwaraha. Shankaracharya, he interprets it in two ways. One, as the lord of individual equipment, Maheshwara, and two, as the lord of the total creation. So, karyakarana sangatanam mahan ishwaraha. That is, if you look at from the jivatma angle, then jivatma is said to be the lord of the individual. So, puram ekadashadvaram ajasya avakra chetasaha adhishtayana sochati vimuktasya vimuchyate. We saw already in Kathopanishad, all those who attended Kathopanishad might remember this shloka. So the body was compared to the city, to a town. And the Jivatma is supposed to be the king of that city, Puram. Similarly, in the fifth shloka of Gita also, in the fifth chapter of the Gita also, it said, Navadware pure dehi naiva kurvan na karayan sukam aste. So it was said there also in the fifth chapter. So Jivatma is the lord of the body, Navadware pure dehi. The Lord. And the second point is, Jivatma, being identical with Paramatma, is the Lord of the universe. So, if I take the second meaning, it will refer to Jiva Ishwara Aikyam, because Jivatma alone is Maheshwaraha, the Lord. And not only that, Paramatmeti Chapi Yuktaha. This is the very same Chaitanyam, Sakshi, the Chidabhasa, obtaining in the body, is known as Paramatma. Paramatma iti cha api yuktaha. It is known as Paramatma. Thus, we find this sloka contains the words from both angles. Some of the words are from the Jivatma angle, drishti, Jivatma drishti, like drashta, bhokta, all those things. Whereas Maheshwaraha, Paramatma, they are all from the total angle. So, this Krishna is indiscriminately using to point out that both are one and the same, the Aikyam. So, Jivatma is Paramatma, Kshetrajnaha is Ishwaraha. So, Chidabhasa is Chit. And where is he located? Dehe Asmin Purushaha Paraha. And that Chaitanyam, known as Parapurushaha, is very much in this body. Dehe. So, Saha Paraha Purushaha that Supreme Purusha, which is the topic under discussion here in this particular chapter, the Purushaha and Prakriti, this Parapurushaha is very much in the body as what? As Kshetrajnaha, free from all this, as the Jivatma illumining all these things as Kshetrajna. And if the Chidabhasa recognizes itself in this manner, then the Chidabhasa is free from samsara. As long as this is not understood, Chidabhasa will suffer as Bhokta, and Punarapi Jananam, Punarapi Maranam will continue that cycle. Sad Athas, Sad Asat Yoni Janmasu. For all of them, this ignorance becomes the Karanam. And if this knowledge is here, then I know that Janma, Mrityu, Vyadi, all of them, they all belong to Prakriti only, not to me. Prakriti undergoes all these changes, whereas I am the Purushaha who is changeless. Thus, what is necessary is Prakriti Purusha Viveka Jnanam is what is needed. And I should know where I belong to. All the time, I am claiming myself to be Prakriti, and therefore, I cannot avoid samsara. If I claim myself to be Purushaha, then I am free from samsara and all the problems. This will be said actually in the next shloka. Shloka 24. Yayevam veti purusham prakritincha gunaisaha. Yayevam veti purusham prakritincha gunaisaha. Sarvata vartamanopi nasabuyo bijayate. Sarvata vartamanopi nasabuyo bijayate. So in this shloka, Krishna concludes the Purusha Prakriti topic by giving the Palashruti, the benefit. What is the phalam of knowing the Purusha and Prakriti distinctly? Krishna says, Yaha Purusham Eva Veti. One who knows the Purusha in this manner, evam. In which manner? As we can see in the previous shloka, which we saw just now, Upadrashta, Anumanta, Bharta, Bhokta, Maheshwaraha, Paramatmacha. So all those things as we described just now. So the one who knows the Purusha as described in the previous shloka, and also Prakritincha, the one who knows the Prakriti, Gunaisaha. Gunaisaha means the one who knows the Prakriti along with its properties, with its gunas. That means what? Prakriti is Savikaram, modifies to become Stula Sukshma Shariram. The Prakriti matter alone modifies. Not only that, Janma, Mrityu, Jara, Vyadi, they all belong to Prakriti. And finally, Raga, Dvesha, Kama, Krodha, all those things, all these Vikaras also belong to Prakriti. Thus, the one who knows Prakriti, not only the most important thing is what? Purusha being Satyam and Prakriti being Mithya, Prakriti cannot affect Purusha. Because Purusha is Satyam and Prakriti is Mithya. So, the Satyam Mithya aspect is important because Purusha and Prakriti always function intimately together. So, Purusha is Satyam, Prakriti is Mithya. There is no time when Purusha and Prakriti are separate, always together. If both of them enjoy equal reality, samana satta, that is called in Vedanta, then certainly the changes in one will affect the other. And therefore, Purusha also will have samsara, Prakriti also will look real as Purusha. But once we know that Prakriti is unreal, mithya, and Purusha is real, satyam, then the greatest advantage is whatever happens to Prakriti does not affect the Purusha at all. In the fifth shloka, fifth chapter, Krishna said, Nadatte kasyachit papam nachaiva sukritam vibhu. Purusha does not have punyam, papam, even though the Purusha is intimately connected with the mind. None of those things affect the Purusha. So what is the example? Akashavate prakashavate. The space accommodates all, but it is not affected by anyone. Similarly, the light illumines all, but is not affected by anything. It's in the same way, Purusha accommodates everything, but is not affected by anything. It is nirdosham. So, yaha purusham veti, yaha prakritim veti. So, distinctly, the one who knows all these, the purusha and prakriti. And above all, I know purusha is nirgunam, nirvikaram, upadrishta, anumanta, the one we saw just now. And I know prakriti has got vikara, various properties, pleasure, pain, all those things belong to prakriti. But this knowledge itself is not sufficient. The question is what? Who am I? Am I Purushaha or am I Prakriti? Having disseminated Purusha, Prakriti very well, suppose I join Prakriti, then the entire knowledge exercise is a waste. So not only I should discriminate these two, I should clearly know I am the Purushaha and not Prakriti or its vikaras, modifications. So Aham Purushaha Asmi, Aham Brahma Asmi, that should be the knowledge. And by this knowledge, what is the advantage? I am the witness of Prakriti and all its modifications. But I am not tainted or affected by whatever happens to Prakriti. Gunaha guneshu vartante. Indriyani indriyarteshu vartante. Thus, karyakarana sangata is one factor. The jagat is another factor. Karyakarana sangata is Prakriti vikaraha. The world is also Prakriti vikara. They two interact, they love, they fight, all this happens between them. And as a result of these interactions, sometimes wars come. Wonderful Olympic Games also come because of all these interactions. All this happen at the cosmic level. They are Prakriti, Prakriti interaction only. I, the Purushaha, am the Sakshi, the witness, not involved in these problems, in these interactions. And this alone is called moksha. If I can stay amidst all these things and still am not affected by any of those, stay only as a witness. And therefore Krishna says, sarvata vartamanopi, whatever be the way of life you lead, that is, whatever may be his varna, brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, shudra, doesn't matter. He may be Brahman doing his job. Brahmana, he may be a Brahmana doing his job. Maybe a Kshatriya like Janaka fighting a war. Or Vaishya doing business. Or Shudra doing manual labor. Any of those. Or he may be a Brahmachari. He may be a Grahastha with a huge family. Or a Vanaprasthi. Or a Sannyasi. Doesn't matter. Let him belong to any Varna or Ashrama. Let him be involved in any type of activity. It is not necessary that he should sit in Nirvikalpa Samadhi somewhere in a cave. Not necessary at all. He can be amidst all people, all activity. Let him do anything. Pashyan, Shrinvan, Sprishan, Jigran, Ashnan, Gachan, Swapan, Swashan, Pralapan, Visrijan, Grinnan, Unmishan, Nimishan Napi, Indriyani, Indriyarteshu, Vartanta iti Dharayan, Naiva Kinchit Karomiti. So all those things. So everybody seems he's acting. The person does everything. But he says, I am not doing anything. Even though I appear to be engaged in so many of these activities, I am not doing anything. But blessed by me, the Prakriti is playing the role. That is the knowledge. So, karmani akarmaya pasyet. All those verses we should remember in this context here. So, sarvata vartamanopi. Saha bhuyaha na abhijayate. Saha bhuyaha na abhijayate. He is a mukta purushaha. He lives in Prakriti. While living, he is a Jivan Mukta because he lives in Prakriti but is not bound by Prakriti. So, Nalini Dalagata Jalavate. He is like a lotus leaf sustaining the water of Prakriti. But he never gets wet by the water. Or it is like entering a swimming pool after knowing to swim. If you enter before knowing swimming, the same pool is a graveyard. But after knowing, the same pool becomes a play yard. It all depends on how I enter. With knowledge, if I enter, the game is for me. Otherwise, it is bondage for me. Similarly, a jnani enters the world with knowledge. Therefore, life is a game for him. The ajnani enters the world without knowledge, so life becomes a tragedy. The difference between tragedy and comedy is the difference between ajnanam and jnanam. And not only he is a Jivan Muktaha who is living, after death also he is Videha Muktaha. So Saha Bhuyaha Na Abhijayate indicates Videha Mukti, which means he is not born again. Na Abhijayate. He does not have any karma. He becomes one with the Lord, one with Brahman. Shloka 25.
ध्यानेन आत्मनि पश्यन्ति केचिदात्मानम् आत्मना ध्यानेन आत्मनि पश्यन्ति केचिदात्मानम् आत्मना अन्ये सांख्येन योगेन कर्मयोगेन चापरे अन्ये सांख्येन योगेन कर्मयोगेन चापरे
So with the previous shloka, Krishna has completed the last pair of topics also, namely Purushaha and Prakriti. So Krishna has successfully explained all the six terms he had talked about. Kshetrajnaha, Kshetram, Mahabhutan, Yathankaraham, Buddhi, Buddhiravyaktamevacham, so all those things. Then Jnanam, so Amanitvam, Adambitvam and all that thing, the values. Then Nyeyam, Nyeyam, Yattat Pravakshyami, Yajnatva Amrita Mashnute, all those shlokas. And finally, he talked about Purusha and Prakriti. So Prakriti Purushan Chaivam, Vidhyanapi Ubhavapi. So he said that. So with the 24th shloka, actually the topics are over. So the following 11 shlokas from 25 to 34 happens to be the conclusion, the upasamhara of the chapter, where he sums up what he has discussed till now, the summary. Then he gives some sadhana for gaining this knowledge. And also he talks about the phalam, the benefit of this knowledge. That also is not systematically done, but strewn all over. Summary, sadhana and phalam. That is going to be the topic from now on. And in these two shlokas, we get the sadhanani. What actually is the sadhana? Here Krishna says, sadhana cannot be uniformly prescribed for all. It all depends upon the grade in which a person is. We have seen the grades in the previous chapters. Broadly, we can classify it into five grades. Even though Krishna does not talk all these five grades and all here, we should remember all the five. Though the first grade is removed, is removal of raga and dvesha, which is called chitta shuddhi. We are now telling about the various stages of sadhana. First stage is what? Removal of ragadvesha, which is chitta shuddhi. And for this, the sadhana prescribed is what? Karma yoga. And the next grade is what? Chitta naishchalyam, steadiness of the mind, removal of vikshepa, wandering. So extravertedness, all the restlessness, that's all removed. And this is attained through what? Through upasana, various types of saguna dhyanam. And then the third grade, Vedanta shravanam, listening to the scriptures, analyzing the scriptures. It's not a casual listening, but analyzing with commitment. So what was said in the previous chapters, what will be said in the later chapters, or there are contradictions. Thus, one has to tie the entire Gita when we study Gita. And when we study the Upanishads, we have to tie them all together. Between Isavasya Upanishad and Kena Upanishad, no contradiction should be there. Kena and Katha Upanishad, no contradiction. And if one studies both Gita and Upanishad, between them there should be no contradiction. This is called samanvaya or reconciliation. In fact, for this reason alone, the Brahma Sutras are studied. The entire Brahma Sutra is tying up both Gita and the Upanishad. And that there is no contradiction in them. That is why when a person studies Brahma Sutras, all Gita and Upanishads should be by heart to him. He should know very, otherwise he cannot understand. Otherwise, how will he know where there is a contradiction or where there is no contradiction? That is why it is called sutra. Sutra means coherent, like a garland. Shankaracharya says in Brahma Sutra Bhashya, Vedanta Vakya Kusuma Gandhanartatvadayam Sutrana. That's what he said. All the Gita and Upanishads are like flowers, and only when they are tied together, it becomes a beautiful garland of Atma Vidya. Otherwise, there will be stray ideas. Some about karma, some on Ishvara, some on avatars, some on Annamaya Kosha and all that things. Jack of all trades, the person will be master of none. No consistency will be there. For that, a systematic study is necessary, which alone we call it as Shravanam. So, Shravanam is not just hearing, but systematic study of scriptures from a competent teacher. Most important. This is the third grade. For what purpose? Jnana Siddhyartham. For jnanam or for removal of ajnanam. So first grade is removal of ragadvesha to get chitta shuddhi. The second grade is removal of wandering of mind to get chitta naishchalyam, steadiness. And the third grade is removal of ignorance, getting knowledge. So first grade through karma yoga, second grade through upasana, third grade through shravana. Then comes the fourth grade where I should ask my intellect whether I have any objection to the Vedantic teaching. Whether I accept it or not, it should not be the teaching of the guru or shastras. Do I agree with the Vedantic teaching? Because a person can study the entire Vedanta and he need not agree, it will be an academic type of information only. Vedanta says, you are free from sukham and dukham. How to accept that? Because daily at home, I am suffering from all kinds of problems. This problem or that problem, health, family, mortgage, everything is there. But Vedanta says, you are free. So I will say, let Vedanta say whatever, and so we can always have a doubting personality. Where the intellect has the knowledge of Vedantic teaching, but I personally do not agree with them. And that knowledge will not be a useful knowledge also. And therefore comes the fourth grade called mananam. I will have to make my intellect agree totally with the teaching of Vedanta. Mananam means reasoning, thinking. Why am I not in agreement? What objections do I have? All those things have to be analyzed. All those objections must be answered, which varies from listener to listener, intellect to intellect. And Vedanta Shastra, there are so many granthas, so many textbooks, which deal with all possible questions. Questions by a materialistic philosopher, Buddhist, Sankhya philosophers, yoga, nyaya, all questions are answered, which we call a Siddha Grantha. Siddhi Grantha actually, which means logically establishing the teachings of Vedanta. They are called Siddhi Granthas. And this process is called mananam, satisfying the intellect. This is the fourth grade, and then comes the fifth grade called the nididhyasanam. Nididhyasanam, in which our habitual samsara, the worrying habit, habitual depression, anxiety. Some people do not need any reason at all. They are themselves depressed all the time. Why? They themselves don't know why they are depressed. Thus, deep in the heart, samsara has gone. That has to be thrown away. And this is done by nididhyasana, in which I constantly dwell in Vedanta. Whenever samsara vritti comes, thoughts about samsara comes, at that time, I should counter that. Whenever fear comes, I should bring Vedanta and negate it. Whenever inferiority complex comes, I should bring in Vedanta and negate that. No samsara vritti should be allowed. And this is called nididhyasana, and these are the five grades of sadhana. And which sadhana has to be prescribed to a person depends upon the grade of the person. So we will see details of this in the next webinar. Yo vedadau swara prokto vedante cha pratishthitah tasya prakriti leenasya yaparasamaheshwarah. Sri Krishna arpanamastu.